2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Coming up this Thursday, BYU Media Day. It's always an eventful day. And actually, 10 years ago this summer, BYU put together their first Media Day as an FBS independent and discussed the history of this fun event. We're joined now on the program by the Director of Communications for BYU Football Program, Brett Pine. And Brett, usually you're the man helping us coordinate interviews with this program, but now you're the person getting interviewed, so we're happy to have you today.
Yeah, it kind of feels a little bit weird, to be honest. you're right, Mitch and Matt, happy to be with you guys. But yeah, I'm happy to help set up a lot of guests for you guys, but I'm also happy that you don't always ask me to be on, but I'm today will be a fun experience. Happy to talk to you.
Well, we'll get into the history of BYU Media Day in a second, Brett. But for our audience who maybe isn't familiar with your role with BYU football, I'm sure there's the diehards out there. They know who you are because you've been an institution with BYU for quite some time. But what does the Director of Communications do for the football program?
You know, we do a lot behind the scenes, as you know, like people like yourselves and ESPN and all the broadcasters and everybody that works behind the scenes to kind of make a game in the football program and these different events take place. So my role specifically, I spend a lot of time so as a communications director, there's a lot of things that are involved in what we're trying to do in terms of communicating to the public. And that involves obviously working with you guys in the news media and also in the, you know, our broadcast partners, ESPN, BYU TV, and helping facilitate basically what we're trying to achieve in partnership with them, be it the broadcast that we're putting out on, you know, live television or other programming and shows and facilitating information and guests. And then in addition to that, obviously there's especially nowadays, there's a lot heavier role in what we're doing on our own with our website and social media and helping communicate all of those things. And we have, you know, a whole team of people that are all contributing towards all of this. So I'm just kind of one of the people in place that kind of makes that happen.
Brett, how has Media Day changed over this past decade? And what was it like getting ready for that first Media Day over 10 years ago?
You know, it's kind of interesting to think back that it's been, this is our 10th Media Day since it happened. And, you know, Matt, looking, you know, back at it, I mean, historically, you know, a lot of fans probably didn't realize when we started doing the Media Day, it wasn't that we were doing the Media Day so we can make, you know, a grand announcement every single time we're having a Media Day. But the evolution of it, and a lot of, you know, obviously, but the conferences will conduct their football media days and their other sports, basketball, they did a lot of back in the day as well. But they'll conduct those media days during the summer where you'll have like someone in my role and the head coach and a player from the offensive side of the ball and a player from the defensive side of the ball. And we'll all go, you know, Mitch and I have talked about this, but we'll all go to Coronado or go to Vegas or we'll go somewhere where the conference is organized and planned this event. And our role of it is to kind of make sure our people are there and present and ready and all the media that cover the league converge there. And we provide opportunities for the media to gather information so that they can help promote what's going to be taking place coming up for the upcoming football season for the various teams. And so when BYU went independent in 2011, the 1st of July, we obviously were not participating with a conference media day any longer. And so we had developed the idea and the concept that we were going to have our own national media day where we would facilitate all of those, all of those same types of opportunities for the media to gather information about the team. But we just took a little different approach to it where we were by ourselves and we, instead of having a coach and a couple of players, you know, we involved the entire coaching staff. We invite, you know, a couple of dozen players representing the various position groups. And then we also, you know, had a strategy to reach out to fans and to do things partnering with BYU TV to have live programming during the day and other things that the fans can watch and participate in and learn more about the upcoming season and promote what's going to be happening and what is happening with BYU football. So yeah, it's hard to believe it's been that long, but that's kind of how it all got started back in 2011.
So was it a whirlwind, Brett, when you go from just two players and a coach at a conference media day to now how many players typically are at a media day? I mean, I've been to the last five or so, and there's usually dozens, it seems. How many players on average usually are at a media day?
Yeah, we probably typically have around 20 to 25 players participating in some fashion. As you know, what the fans probably don't know is like the behind the scenes breakout sessions and all the things that we're doing for the media, where the media are spending time talking with the coaches and the players or other guests or alumni and people that we bring back. And that's another component of what we do that, you know, adds another element where we have kind of tried to tie our program, not just with the present, but to our past as well with our media days. But those opportunities and the various chats and things we do on social media. So between all that's going on, there's usually a couple of dozen players and then the entire coaching staff that's all involved with it. In addition to, you know, we typically have around, you know, 50 to 70 media members that are also there participating and taking part in our media day.
Brett Pine, Director of Communications down at BYU, is our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday. And you mentioned that your role and a lot of members on that staff are kind of behind the scenes stuff, Brett, but there is one area where you do get some FaceTime, and that's on national TV when Kalani Sitake is getting interviewed. What has been one of the craziest moments, whether it be with Kalani or Bronco Mendenhall, just crazy moments you've experienced post game on a field where you're trying to coordinate interviews and doing what you do down there on the field?
You know, Matt, that's a great question. You know, I try to avoid the cameras typically, but sometimes, you know, when you're around the head coach, it's unavoidable. Yeah, that is a role that I play, you know, immediately after a game. There's things that we've been planning, working out with the TV networks all along. So, in the, you know, when we win the game, you know, I'm trying to get our coach and or star players, depending on, or both in many cases, to the exact spot on the field where I can get them to the interview for the ESPN reporter, whoever it is that might be waiting to conduct that interview. And so with our live broadcast partners, you know, there's some immediacy to what we try to do there to get those interviews on the air. And then in addition to that, you know, all the post game that we start taking place with you know, our radio network with you guys and other members of the media that are covering the event, and helping facilitate so that you guys are able to help share with all the fans, you know, what happened and get the perspective of our coaches and players on what just went down with the event. So yeah, it gets a little bit interesting there. You know, I think back to some things like our Nebraska game on that Hail Mary, and you have a plan. You know, if you win or you lose, it can vary because you won't have, you know, the immediacy maybe if you lose the game, because the TV is going to talk with the winning team. And obviously in a game like that, where it literally comes down to the very end, you have to have everything kind of ready. And I had made arrangements with ESPN, and typically back in those days, like, we didn't have access to the locker room after the game to have the TV cameras in there. And I'd arranged with Coach Mendenhall that, hey, if we win, I think we should do this and have the TV cameras come and show the locker room right after. And so, you know, kind of worked out that plan because we won that game and it went crazy. And that locker room celebration and everything kind of went viral everywhere. So those are kind of little decisions. And we're working with the TV crew and they're texting me saying, are we good to go in the locker room? And I'm, you know, trying to make sure me or some of our staff's there to get them in and all that kind of stuff, just, you know, so that people can kind of see what's happening. So it gets a little hectic. A Tennessee game was kind of like that too. After the game, you just have to scramble. You're not really able to be a fan as much as people might think because you got all these details to worry about.
Brett Pine here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Brett, we really appreciate the time discussing the history of Media Day. I know we're looking forward to coming out on Thursday in person. It's going to be fantastic to be there on site, on location. So excited that BYU is granting us that access, because just another sign that normalcy is continuing. So we're excited about that, Brett.
Thanks, Mitch. That's the one thing that we were really trying to, you know, this year it took a little longer to get to where we could announce our plans because of all those types of issues and things that we're trying to do to still stay safe. But return to that. And we're also looking forward to marking this as an opportunity to be in person for the first time with you guys in a long, very long time. And looking forward to having a full capacity at the stadium coming up this fall, Lavelle Edwards Stadium. So a lot of good things coming ahead.
He's Brett Pine with BYU football, director of communications for the BYU football program and part of the BYU athletics communications staff. Brett, we always appreciate the time, and we'll see you Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Thanks, Matt.
That's Brett Pine here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Always appreciate Brett, and thank him for all the work he helps us with getting interviews on the show, like Kalani and players. It's always great, so we appreciate him. And looking forward to being down there on Thursday at BYU Media Day. Got to take a timeout. On the other side, we'll discuss some news from BYU summer camps. A lot of recruiting news happening for the Cougar football team. We'll hit on that and more. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.